Back on the Big Wake Up Call, AM 1280 WBIG, and time for my next guest. He is one of the best rock and roll writers around. You've seen his work in Billboard, Rolling Stone, and Pitchfork, just to name a few. His new book is Twilight of the Gods, A Journey to the End of Classic Rock, and we're going to chat with Stephen Hayden. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you calling in today, Stephen, and such a fan of your last book, Your Favorite Band is Killing Me. I felt like the target audience for that book was me. And you're new on Twilight of the Gods. This is just as much fun.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, yeah, I think with this book, you know, I'm 40 years old. I'm a member of Generation X.
Me too. Yay.
I think it was a common experience for people my age and even younger who grew up listening to classic rock bands on the radio and really worshipped Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, the Beatles, the Stones, even though those bands either weren't around or they had peaked before we were listening to music. But there was something eternal about them that drew us to them.
And as a music geek who also interviews a lot of musicians on the show, you have a couple sections in here I just loved. You have one about how every interview about a new album these days is pretty much the same, and I loved that.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of, you know, I think a lot of artists now, they love making albums. They spend a lot of time recording them, structuring them in a certain way, but they also know that because of Spotify and Apple Music, that fans are just going to take the songs that they love and listen to it out of order, you know. And it's a dispiriting thing in a lot of ways, but they continue doing it because I think they love music, they love the history of music, and they want to be a part of it.
And then I couldn't believe I found someone else who, and you're right, it doesn't particularly care for the music of Styx, but really enjoys their episode of Behind the Music, because I keep thinking of the hug that Dennis DeYoung kind of forces on Tommy Shaw. I just love that Behind the Music.
That makes my day that you saw that episode, because, you know, when you write a book, you're exploring your own obsessions and you make weird references.
Yeah.
Your references, and you're like, I don't know if anyone's going to remember this episode. That thrills me that you remember that same Behind the Music episode. That is definitely a favorite of mine.
Well, they're gathering together because they have to re-record Lady, so they're at some recording studio, and then Tommy Shaw and Dennis sees him. I'm like, wow, this just doesn't ring genuine to me.
Right, exactly. And you know, I had the chance to interview Tommy Shaw, and we ended up talking about basically payola. You know, the payola that Styx and other arena rock bands of that time were involved in, where they would basically go around to radio stations and hand out microwave ovens and concert tickets and other sort of illicit substances to get their songs on the radio, sort of to grease the wheels a little bit with program directors. And, you know, he was very open to talking about that. You'd think there might be a little bit of shame with that, but he didn't have any shame, which was great for me. So that's an interesting part of the book, I think.
Yeah, that was the time to be in radio when I was, you know, an alt-rock jock in the 90s. We got like PlayStations was the best payola. But it wasn't payola. It was like, oh, and we'll give you a PlayStation you can give away to your listeners. Wink.
Right, right. And, you know, I mean, even in the 90s, there was more money in the music industry than there is now. Like, I don't know if there's anything like that just because there's not as much cash around. You know, maybe you're just handing out, like, you know, Starbucks coupons or
yeah,
something. That might be the best they can do these days.
It's so lame now. Stephen, so A Journey to the End of Classic Rock. What do you consider to be the end of the classic rock era? Where would you say it cuts off?
Well, in the book I talk about the 90s being the last time when you had bands that were big enough to qualify as classic rock. Because I think classic rock, you know, a lot of the bands that get classified that way, it's tied up in commercial performance. You know, there are artists who you could call classic rock that tend not to fall under that umbrella just because they weren't maybe popular enough. So I make the distinction with this Nine Inch Nails record, The Fragile, which was a very sort of classic type album. It was made with Bob Ezrin, who produced The Wall with Pink Floyd. And it just kind of fits the hallmarks of like a classic rock record in a lot of ways. But I know that section of the book is going to definitely cause some people to flip out, because classic rock is such a nebulous term. People, I think, define it in their own way. I know there's people that get upset, like when they hear Nirvana on classic rock radio. You know, that's really bizarre, I think, for some people, because you know, there's an era of punk rock radio where it was always the 60s and 70s. And to bring in some of those 90s bands, even if the fans of those bands are now older, you know, and that's why they're on those stations, it's still weird for people, you know. So hopefully people won't throw the book across the room during that chapter. Though, even if they disagree with me, they'll enjoy my argument.
I love that part, and it makes sense to me. I mean, my oldest son is 19, and to him and his friends, Nirvana and Pearl Jam and even R.E.M. and Oasis, that is their classic rock, which initially made me feel really old, but then I got to be cool again because my son got to tell his friends, and Dad met all of these bands back in the 90s. Like, ooh.
Exactly. I think there's something, too, about the continuum of music, which is something I've always loved. The idea that, you know, I think why Nirvana and Pearl Jam ended up on classic rock radio is that they were clearly influenced by classic rock bands. I mean, Pearl Jam made an album with Neil Young. You know, you can't get much more direct than that in terms of pointing out your influences. And, you know, I love that you can draw lines between artists like that. You know, R.E.M. to the Byrds and Velvet Underground and all that stuff. And I think you can do that even now with a lot of bands who are still listening to that music. I mean, I interview young musicians all the time who are in their late teens, early 20s, who love Bruce Springsteen and love Led Zeppelin and still talk about that stuff. So there's still something happening, I think, with that, with younger generations.
Oh, at some point, I think it just entered DNA because we talked to you know, a lot of the contestants from The Voice, and your kids, you know, 15, 16 years old, and like a lot of them know classic rock, especially in particular, they know the Beatles music just intimately, and I don't know if you're hearing it or it's just all a part of us at this point.
Yeah, and you know, there is an element too. Like, I just wonder, like, with the Beatles. Is that going to eventually enter almost like the classical music canon, you know, like where people talk about Lennon McCartney as like Mozart of now, like in 500 years. I mean, I would expect, I mean, I feel like Dylan and the Beatles for sure have that sort of staying power, not just because of the songs, but also the impact that they had on the wider culture. Like, you can't really talk about the 20th century without talking about those two in particular, because it was beyond music. I mean, they influenced so many aspects of the world. But yeah, you're right. There is almost something like atmospheric about this music. You know, it's sort of there, even if you don't even have to own the records. You know, you hear Hotel California kind of floating through ballparks and airports, and you know, it's always there.
Why is it so hard to get into new music as you get older? Because I feel like my taste cut off about 1996. And I'll hear new bands on Sirius XM, and I'll think, oh, I kind of like that. And my wife will inevitably say, well, yeah, because it sounds like something you would have listened to in the 90s.
Well, you know, and I think maybe people feel like that's a bad thing if they enjoy something that sounds like what they already like. But again, I go back to the continuum of music. That the connections that exist between artists of different eras, I think is really exciting. I think to expect to hear something different every time you hear a new band, it's harder as you get older just because you know more about music. When you're 14, you haven't heard as many things, so it's easier to be blown away. It's easier to feel like this is new, this is fresh, you know, this never existed before. But as you get older, you kind of start to realize that nothing is really new. Everything is kind of connected. And even like with the greats, the giants of music, like the Beatles, for instance, they were covering Chuck Berry and Buddy Holly and Little Richard on their early records. You know, they were drawing from girl groups of the time and all sorts of other places. And they obviously took those influences and they put their own spin on it. But I feel like bands do that now. You can hear bands that are reminiscent of Springsteen or Tom Petty, like The War on Drugs, for instance. But The War on Drugs is also its own thing that's unique. And I really appreciate that. I love that link. I like that continues to move forward and sort of morph in different ways.
And the new book is Twilight of the Gods, A Journey to the End of Classic Rock by Stephen Hayden. Stephen, where can we keep up with you and read more?
Well, you can find me on Twitter. I'm there. I write for uprocks.com. I also have a podcast called Celebration Rock. where I talk about music and interview musicians and artists, and you can get that wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Well, Stephen, it was great to talk to you. Come back anytime. I'd love to talk more rock.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much.